Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. In God, we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. All of our sins can be forgiven through the grace of God, our Redeemer. Today's message is a continuance of last week's program. Now is the time for redemption. Let's listen in as Pastor Joel shares the power we have through redemption.
You might be like me. Before I had an encounter with Jesus, I just didn't believe. I didn't even want to hear it. But if you're like me, and like I said, if you want the truth, you'll find it. The Lord will reveal himself to you, okay? Once I found out that I could be free from my sinful past and that he would give me eternal life and all I had to do was accept it, that's like the deal of the century. That's better than the blue light special. Yeah, it's too good to be true. That's what I thought. I said, if this is true about Jesus, it's too good to be true. But if it's true, oh, man, this is good. See, I may not have believed at the very moment, but I would say if it's true, it's the best news that I've heard. And it was. Because you know what the Lord told me personally? He said, don't believe me. Watch and see if everything I said to you doesn't happen. And it's been happening ever since. It's been happening ever since. I can't begin to tell you, but that's another story. And we have to sit here for a whole week. We'd have to sleep over night after night for me to tell you all the things, the amazing, miraculous things that God does, that he's done just in our lives. I'm sure you got some stories too. Raising the dead, bringing back people who had cerebral palsy when the doctors gave up on them, haven't walked in 5 years. And he said, go pray for that person. That person gets up and walks around better than I'm walking now. How did that happen? You think they brought in that person? They didn't even know who I was. And the Lord was showing me. Make you go pray in front of a crowd of 22 people and say, go pray for the child who's been dead for almost an hour. When the doctors gave up on him and the heart start beating when you say, Jesus, it jumpstarts the heart. And when you say, amen, his eyes open up. He woke up and them doctors about fell out. Ain't that something? That's how God does it. So somebody resuscitate them. The Lord God, Jesus Christ. Too good to be true, but he's true. So, anyway, that's what redemption in Christ is. See, it's a free gift. We don't understand. Sometimes we take gifts for granted. You ever got something for Christmas? And the person said, how you like it? And it's some type of strange, psychedelic sweater with a butterfly collar. And you go, man, I like it. And you put it away and you never wear it. Not this gift. This is an amazing gift that we need to adorn. Every day we need to be blessed. We need to wear this gift. Amen? Come on now. He's given us redemption. You can't buy it. You did nothing to earn it. But that's where many people go astray because they tend to take the gift for granted. Okay? And I'm speaking about those who are saved right now. See, because although it costs us nothing to be afforded redemption, we can't get it confused. Don't get it confused and think that we can just go on through life on cruise control. That's not how it works. Okay, that's not how it works. We've been saved by grace. But we can't just say, hey, I'm in. Me and Jesus, we tight, you know. He paid my sin debt. I can now live whichever way I choose, see, because I'm covered by the blood. I can behave like I want to behave, you know. If I mess up here or there, he's got me covered. That's not the way to approach this, okay? That's not the way to approach this. There are some people who think this way, okay? They'll say, I've been set free. But being set free doesn't mean that you can set yourself up to sin. See, there's a difference. Being set free doesn't mean you're free to sin, okay? Being set free doesn't give us a free set of sin either, okay? Being set free doesn't give you a free set of sins, okay? It doesn't work that way, okay? But But let's do this. Let's go to Ephesians and look at this a little closer. Let's go to the book of Ephesians again, and let's go to Ephesians 2 this time. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Pastor, can you read that for us? I know you all know this scripture.
Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 yes, tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Mm-hmm. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast."
Thank you, Pastor. So by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, that is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know how I feel about that. If you got your grace, your salvation through works, you would think your salvation is better than somebody else's. What'd you do to get saved? Well, I saved five boys in Boys Town. And what did you do to get saved? Well, I always pray for everybody. Well, my salvation is better than yours. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. But see, you can't. It's not about that. You're saved by grace. Uh-huh. Where'd you get your salvation? I got mine at Kmart. Blue Light Special. Sale. Target. Where'd you get yours? I went to Macy's. Mine's better than yours. It's higher end. It doesn't work that way. He says, by grace you've been saved, lest anyone should boast. Because you know we would, wouldn't we? Oh, he got that generic grace. Mine is special ordered. God says, by grace you've been saved. Mm-hmm. And speaking about those... This scripture tells us, obviously declares that we're saved by grace. It's the gift of God and not of ourselves, lest anyone should boast, and we would. Uh-huh. This, of course, means that our works had nothing to do with receiving salvation and being redeemed. That's a good thing, isn't it? Amen. It's a free gift. But notice, I even meant to leave out a word when it says here, by grace, you have been saved, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. When I looked at that, I immediately took out one word, and that word is the key word, a key word that I left out. That key word is faith. That's the part which says, by grace, you've been saved through what? Faith. Faith is the key word. In this verse, this is what separates people when they start figuring out about works and how your works didn't save you and how it works, how things progress. Faith is a component, an attribute that's displayed by your obedience. Faith is displayed by your obedience to God's commands. That's what we need to know. So although we're saved without works, our salvation, our redemption is related to our faith. There's a relationship which is our faith, which is recognized in our obedience and submitting to God. So although we as sinners are redeemed via God's grace, we must also recognize that we are saved through our faith. You get that? That's why you can't afford to just go along and say, I'm okay, you're okay, we're okay, we're all in the family. Takes more. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you have salvation. But salvation is not a one-time perfunctory drill to say that I confess the Lord Jesus and I believe. That it's an ongoing process through faith and obedience to God. Does that make sense? That's where the rubber meets the road. Okay, we're redeemed by God's grace, but we also must recognize that we're saved through faith, and our faith is seen in relation to our obedience to God. That's very important for us to know, that our faith is seen by our obedience to God. That makes sense, doesn't it? Let's go here. Let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans, and you all know this scripture. This is the scripture, Romans 10. 9 and 10. Pastor, can you read that for us?
Romans 10, 9 and 10.
What does that say, please?
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, mm-hmm, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Mm-hmm. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
All right. You all get that? Okay. So this is, thank you, Pastor. So this is the scripture. This is the scripture that we all, most of us know. Most of you know this verse very well. So what's it saying? It's saying if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it goes on to say that with the heart you believe unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. Now get this, saints. This act of verbally confessing is not to be misunderstood as just a one-time drill, okay? It's to be regarded as ongoing. When you read your Bibles and you get into your word, you understand that redemption calls for true repentance. True repentance, huh? That's right. This is just the beginning, meaning that we as one-time sinners will turn from our old sinful ways, right? And allow Jesus to lead us as our Savior into the newness of life. Does that make sense? Another example is in 1 John 1:9. Pastor, do you have that one? Read that one for us, please. Here's another example.
1 John 1:9 mm-hmm. tells us, mm-hmm. if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. Now, to confess our sins doesn't mean that you just tell somebody about it. I told a lie. I did what I wasn't supposed to do. You did, okay? But to confess your sins is more than that. In this verbiage, it means to repent of your sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. That means when you repent of your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And you turn away. You turn and you do a 180. You go back the other way, right? Okay? You're doing a bow face. It means that we as once rebellious sinners will now turn and make a continuous effort resolving to live our lives in a manner agreeable to God's dictates and commands. See, that's the part that we don't hear much about. That's the part. Yes, you've been redeemed, but there is still, it's an ongoing process of redemption. Now, I want you all to stay with me here because we're still focusing on redemption. We're focusing on now is the time for redemption, okay? And if we're ready for redemption, because you've got to know about it to be ready for it, okay? You've got to learn about redemption. You see, God wants you to know what redemption truly entails because there are many believers out there, churches full of people who say they're saved, full of people who say they're redeemed, but their behaviors and conduct say something different, doesn't it? You know it. You've seen it. Our conduct sometimes says something differently entirely. There are Christ followers who are saved, yet they frequent risque places, unsavory places, party houses, regularly, whether it's drinking, drug use, fornicating, adultery, all these things. What about our relationship? What about the newness of life that God is trying to bring us to? Are we going with him? Are we making mistakes? Are we doing it habitually? These are things that we have to think about. Truly, we didn't do anything to receive the gift of salvation or redemption. But does this mean we're free to go on and cavort as we want to, as we please? Who might we cause to stumble just by being in these places if we are to represent Christ and be ambassadors for Christ? I told you a good friend of ours who we used to know, and we sang R&B on stages all across the country and out here in California and the Monterey Blues Festival, and shared the stage once with Ashford and Simpson. So we knew some partying people. But when the Lord came, shut everything down. He shut it down. He said, I'm giving you this much time. In other words, get your stuff in order. And so after we knew the Lord, guess what? We couldn't even do what we used to do. Couldn't even sing the songs. Something about it, something just wasn't right. Talking about all of my purple life. How could I just couldn't sing Erotic City anymore. I couldn't sing Word Up, Gap Band. Something happened. He changed things. See, I'm trying to say he wasn't going to let us do what we used to do. And then as a test, a man came after we were pastors. A man came and said, hey, we're having a reunion. All the singers and all the groups and the bands, they want to see you guys there. If you just sing a song. I said, I gave it to Annalisa, you know, the mouth. I gave it to her. Hug him, Annalisa. Do something. Tell him. And she told him, we're pastors now. He said, well, it's going to be at this club. So what kind of club? Are they drinking there? He said, well, yes, club, but you don't have to drink. I said, but we have to be there? He said, yes, down in Jack London Square. And I said, but see, and this is how the devil will do you. I said, but we're pastors now. He said, oh, I get pastors all the time. Yeah, they come in here and they sit in the back. In other words, God don't see them. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. He did it, but the Lord did let us go to one club. You know what we did? We got up there and we did a God is the power. And everybody looked at us like, are they the same people? But what about this song? No, we're doing God is the power, you know? So again, this is what we need to know. As Christ followers, if you're causing somebody to stumble, might they not stumble? If you're frequenting these places, if you're going riverboat gambling, you know, if you're taking the lucky tours to, where's it go? Reno, Vegas, devil to Cash Creek. There we go, Cash Creek. Everything that happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. I want you to know that. The Lord knows about it, okay? God exposes these things, whether it's in a Vegas casino or a hotel or even in an apartment or condo where you're living and shacking up with your lover. There is a continuous move in our redemption. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? We receive this free gift by God's grace, and it abounds. But he says, for his good pleasure. To the praise and the glory of God, not of man. You see, these are things that we forget about, okay? So it encompasses being reconciled to God because of our union with Christ, because we now have the mind of Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, that we have the mind of Christ, okay? Therefore, because we have the mind of Christ, our actions should follow. Uh-huh. And while we all agree that salvation is received without our works, consider this. Now, look at this passage. Let's go to the book of James. Book of James. James 2, 17 to 20.
Mm-hmm. James 2, 17 to 20 tells us, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Mm-hmm. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Mm-hmm. Verse 19, you believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead.
There we go. Thank you, Pastor. That's what we're talking about, how faith is going to determine your works. See what I mean? Because you're going to be obedient to God even when you want to do something else. You're going to find a way to commune with the Lord, okay? And there's a reason for that. We'll get to that. So we see here the effects of redemption at work in true believers. As I mentioned earlier, faith is connected to obedience in those who are redeemed. So although we do not receive salvation by our works, but through faith, and it follows that salvation then is followed by our faith being evidenced by our works. Okay? Another factor to take into consideration in our examining redemption is the fact that when one is redeemed through Christ, there is present a spiritual union. There is a union between you and Jesus. You've entered into a covenant relationship. You're tight, in other words, right? This union between the believer and Jesus is very necessary. It's a necessary ingredient or component which enables those who were once sinners to become saints. See? Because now you're hooked in, locked in with Jesus. Look at what Jesus says in the book of John. Let's go to John. Let's go to chapter 14. I know we're running a little short. Let's go to John 14, verse 15 to 23, Pastor, if you can read those for us.
John 14, 15 to 23 says, if you ask anything in my name,
this is Jesus talking,
I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Mm-hmm. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Dwells with you and he will be in you. That's what he's saying right here.
I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Mm-hmm. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also.
Come on.
Verse 29, and at that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you.
Uh-huh.
Verse 23.
21.
No, 21. Mm-hmm. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
That means he's going to make himself obvious to you. He's going to reveal himself to you because of the connection. Go
Amen.
Ahead, Pastor.
Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Mm-hmm. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
All right, thank you, Pastor.
Praise God. The Lord promised to abide in those that love him and keep his commandments. Question, are you keeping his commandments? You're listening to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored in part by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Previous broadcasts, along with today's message, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. We love connecting with our listeners. Like and connect with us on Facebook. Submit comments, prayer requests, and praise reports at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. And listen, if Pastor Joel's messages are ministering to you, let us know. Share your testimonies on our contact page. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow him. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program. All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button on our website to give today. And as a friendly reminder, all on-site services have been canceled until the shelter-in-place order is lifted. Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide is praying for you and trusting the Lord to draw you, protect you, and keep you healthy and strong. During these troubling times, know that God is with us and will bring us through victoriously. If you're feeling alone, frustrated, or in need of encouragement, our prayer warriors are here and ready to pray with you. Give us a call at 707-759-5244. We also invite you to Sunday worship services live on Periscope at 1 p.m. Services are also available on YouTube and on SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. We encourage you to join us for prayer at 7 p.m. and Bible study at 8 p.m. Wednesday as we walk through the Bible together. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for the continuation of Now is the Time for Redemption with Pastor Joel. Until next time.
Somebody might as well.